Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country, writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week, we'll be in a new town. And after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map. If you are listening to this episode of These Parts, then you are hashtag winning. I'm one of your hosts, and with me is my brother, friend, and traveling companion, Vince McNally.
Elliot, what a timely and on the pulse of American pop culture trend you just made. That was a great reference.
I like to be temporal, if anything, with my introductions, as you know, Vince.
You take them very seriously. I see you practicing them in the mirror. I think I saw you saying the word hashtag over and over for, was it 2 hours last night and then 2 hours the previous?
Unique New York hashtag. It's a hard one to do, so I wanted to make sure I nailed it.
There are a lot of consonants in the word. I don't blame you for taking it serious, Elliot.
Something I do take seriously, Vince, is each episode and each town we're in. I don't know about you, but I'm really excited about this town.
I'm thrilled to be here, Elliot. What better town to be in such fast technological times? We are truly on a frontier in terms of not only technology, but also the way that we communicate with one another. You know, we're both fans of the Instagram. We both Snapchatted. We're on the Facebook.
We've done that once.
We've tried to get into the Facebook at least once. Our faces are in the book.
But it's funny you mentioned the technological frontier, because I was doing a little research on our great-great-grandfather, Rand McNally, today, Vince. It turns out he created the first meme.
Now, a quick aside for those of you who are at home and they're saying to themselves, well, what is a meme? What does it mean to be a meme? Well, it's sort of like it's an inside joke, kind of, right, Elliot?
An inside joke shared with the entire populace of the internet and ipso facto the world. But Rand McNally started this back in 1865. And he actually ripped out a newspaper clipping. It was a cartoon of John Wilkes Booth shooting Lincoln in the head. And he wrote, ugh, Mondays on it and sent it to his friend.
He did. He sent it via U.S. Postal Service. It took 17 weeks for the meme to arrive.
And then a subsequent 17 weeks for everyone after who saw it.
That's right. But once it made it to his friend, his name was Hans Gutnarsson. He was a logger in the American Northwoods. He posted it on a tree, and so everyone walking past could see it, and people would see the image, and they'd laugh, and then they'd carve it into other trees.
That was the original message board. That's why it's called posting something, because they originally posted it onto a tree.
That's right, and thus the first ever viral meme was born.
Viral, in those times, usually, you know, it referenced dysentery or some other horrible disease, but Rand kind of was at the forefront of this technological frontier and coined the viral video, the viral meme, and the rest is history.
And you can trace that meme lineage all the way to the very town that we're in this week. Elliot, we're in Starnell, Texas, and what a town it is.
We should put it on the map, I think.
I think that is a share-worthy idea, Elliot.
So listeners at home, take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. WOMAP and your commemorative push pins and get ready to stick a pin in Starnell, Texas. But before Vince and I do, we have to share this privilege with our esteemed guests. So as Vince alluded to, this town, Starnell, is trying to be at the forefront of creating their own viral internet video. To the best of our knowledge, they have not fully gone viral yet. But that is why they brought in our guest today. He's a meme connoisseur. Can you introduce yourself?
I sure can, guys. It's great to be here. My name is Ricky Cha-Cha from Starnell, Texas.
Ricky Cha-Cha, thank you so much for being here. Can you stick a pin in Starnell?
I sure can.
And there we go.
Now, Ricky, it almost bears not introducing you because you're just so well known, not only here in Starnell, but abroad throughout the entire country, known for your meme savviness and your appraisal of content, be it viral videos, macro images, or any other sort of viral content. You've been doing this a while. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about what it is specifically you do and your approach to this very important work?
I'd love to. To start off, I'd like to say that I really got my start working with meme imagery. So you may remember College Kid or Irma Gerd or the Yellow Jacket Girl. Those were all my brainchild. All my little brain children, all my little meme kids running around the internet causing problems. And I take credit for all of those. And I slowly decided to get more into the videos. Some that you may recognize would be Gary the Panda. That's where we superimposed Gary Oldman's face on a panda and watched it sneeze.
Wow. Visionary work. I think all of our listeners will be familiar with all of the memes that you mentioned. Why did they bring you to Starnell?
Starnell is one of those places that's kind of been encapsulated by the Old West. And there's something so great about just the people of Starnell and their good old-fashioned nature. You know, they don't know much about the internet, so once they found out what the internet was all about, they really latched onto the idea of making the greatest meme known to the world. And so I've been working with them to try and capture some of that David after dentist or Charlie bit my finger kind of fervor.
Would you call that fervor lightning in a bottle?
Absolutely. It is. It is as close to lightning in a bottle as one could get.
Can you speak on that a little bit more? What's your facility like? What is your process like to create these ubiquitous memes out of seemingly nothing?
What's interesting about the town is that they were willing to build a 500,000 square foot production studio for me with virtually basically no proof of my own except for my illustrious videos. I basically just showed up and said, we need something. And they said, all right, here we go. We're going to build this. So it took about 5 years and 30,000 men and some babies to actually build the facility. And, you know, we've been rolling ever since. It's been about 6 months now, and we've been putting out all sorts of great things. They're not quite catching on yet, but I know we've got something coming up real soon.
How many views or uses does your top, your most successful meme have so far?
Well, we have Lobster Boy, and that's at about 100,000 right now. So we're on the cusp of really breaking into something. We're putting out about 200 different videos and images a day. Lobster Boy is actually a five-year-old that we put inside a lobster crate and then dunked in the ocean. And then after we saw pretty much no more bubbles coming up, then we pulled him back out. He's okay, though.
Yes, if I remember the news coverage, he narrowly survived. Most of those views were from various child protective services agencies throughout the country. But as they say, all press is good press. I want to roll back the conversation just a moment. You mentioned that you used babies in the construction of this elaborate production set. In what capacity exactly did the baby serve? I do remember the classic near miss meme of baby builds production set. Showed a couple of babies with hammers kind of just crawling around. Interesting in that it was a 48 minute video. But if you could kind of maybe unpack what exactly the babies were doing in a non-meme sense.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because part of the reason of having babies actually on the construction site, one, was every baby is a foreman, and two, just having babies as foremen, you know, we were recording the entire build just in the hopes of creating a meme in the construction of our meme-creating facility. So it gets very inception-ish, if you will.
Wow. That is genius.
Unluckily, all the babies, correct me if I'm wrong, all the babies turned out to be excellent foremen. So it kind of spoiled any hopes of hilarious content.
Yeah, they actually did a really good job. You'd be surprised what a bunch of crying can actually do to get people to be motivated.
Well, I'm already learning a lot. I don't know about you, Elliot, but I didn't know memes could be more than just funny images that you shared between friends. There seems to be a lot of art and science that goes into it. I can't wait to dig down even further onto this concept, Elliot.
Me too. They can be images, they can be videos, but Vince, they can also be words and phrases.
They sure can, and I imagine we'll stumble upon a few of them in a segment we call Say What?
Listeners, Say What is our journey into the local lingo, the local lexicon or vernacular of whatever town we're in, because as you know, as you travel around these fine United States, you start to hear words and phrases that are inherent in whatever town you stumble through.
OMG, LOL, hashtag. These are some of the words that are maybe native to the internet in a way. But I'm guessing there's one or two that kind of cross that membrane, break through the barrier, and become day-to-day lexicon here in Starnell. What do you have to say about that, Mr. Cha-Cha?
Oh, well, of course. So, with Starnell being so new to the internet, they've been so insulated from that entire world. And they've had a lot of sayings that are very near and dear to their hearts that might not necessarily translate to the general populace. But that's one thing that we're trying to really figure out with these memes, is trying to get the things that Starnellians say all the time into the general lexicon of Middle America and the East Coast, West Coast, and around the world. So one of my favorites would be big boots, big hearts, baked beans, and strong farts. And that's really a testament to the spirit and gusto of this group.
So that's an interesting approach to the phraseology of a town. Usually Vince and I are trying to unpack these phrases that don't mean much to people outside of the town. But what you're saying is you're trying to coin phrases as almost neologisms that will then be used across the world.
Exactly. What better way to put Starnell on the map than take the things that people from Starnell say every day and put it out into the world?
Are you then implying that the average Starnellian says every day, big boots, big hearts, baked beans, big farts?
Basically, yes. It's, you know, in a lot of places, they'll say the Pledge of Allegiance before school. This is something that is rung out over the PA system before every class. And it's very important because it's part of the history of the town. So if it wasn't for the baked bean farts, the founder of Starnell, Ulysses Starnell, would have actually been eaten alive by rattlesnakes.
Is that so?
Yes, sir.
If it weren't for his baked beans.
Yes. That led to those big farts.
So the resulting farts are what scared off the snakes, presumably?
Exactly. And if it wasn't for his big boots, he would have had nowhere to have stored those beans. So it's very much a testament to the strength of the founder of Starnell.
And the stream of logic that he used to avoid the snakes, I think, is uncanny and unparalleled.
You know, sometimes nature beats nature.
It's well put. All right, so that's a mantra that I can see perhaps catching on. What other kind of linguistic elements are you trying to make more mainstream, so to speak?
Well, there is one other one that most Starnellians know from the time that they're born, and that's the word yeehaw giggity giggity.
That's one word?
Yes.
And in what context?
It's generally said in a very loud exclamation, generally after anything is completed.
So would you say, am I stepping out too far on a limb, say this is sort of like the world star of Starnell videos? At the end of most of your memes and videos, you have yeehaw giggity giggity with several exclamation points.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Be it verbal sign-off or in an image, kind of as a watermark.
Exactly. And I would say the most famous DJ from Starnell, DJ Beer Can Bottle Bub.
that would be, you could find him on SoundCloud. I'm a huge fan of his work, DJ Beer Can Bottle Bump.
Yeah, he's pretty well known for dropping some spur noises into his tracks. the clankety clank of a boot spur, and then also yelling really loud, "Yeehaw, giggity giggity!"
Well, and he also regularly uses the term "gotta have more cowbell" in each of his songs, right?
Yeah, that's actually Christopher Walken from his SNL days actually picked it up while on a bender in Starnell, hanging out with DJ Beer Can Bottle Bump.
Wow, so Starnell really is, even though not as widely recognized as we would hope, is on the forefront of creating these different phrases. One that I heard guys walking around the town is what all the kids are saying, and they always refer to something cool as Debo. They always say, "Oh man, that's so Debo." And I went up to one of these whippersnappers and I asked what it meant. Apparently, Ricky, you can chime in on this, they're talking about something being as cool as a double rainbow.
Oh, yes. Yep, very much so. So the double rainbow man, we all know him. He actually purchased all of his drugs from Starnell. And so the only reason that he ever had that reaction is because of all of the mushrooms he was eating. It's right out of the Starnell Gardens.
Oh, so you guys didn't make that video in your 500,000 square foot content laboratory. You guys just sold him the drugs to make the video.
Yeah, so we have a footnote credit in that video.
It's as close as Starnell has yet come to content gold. Always the bridesmaid, so far never the bride. But with you at the helm, Mr. Cha-Cha, I can't imagine it'll be long from now. This is super interesting. I've had questions that I didn't even know I had answered. And I bet one or two of our listeners might be kind of wandering down the same path.
I think so too, Vince. We should get to all those in a segment we call Wouldn't You Like to Know?
So listeners, Wouldn't You Like to Know is your weekly opportunity to write in with your specific queries, questions, or inquisitions to find out the straight dope facts from the guest and ourselves. We have time for three each and every week, and this week I've got the first one for you.
All right, Vince, fire it up.
This one comes from Darlene in Lubbock, Texas. So a local lady.
So what does Darlene have to say?
Darlene would like to start by saying she's a huge fan of Baby Foreman, the 17-part meme series debuting in 2011.
Well, that's high praise, Ricky.
I'm very flattered, very flattered.
Well, Darlene goes on to ask, it's clear that you guys have an expertise in image and video creation. Have you experimented with newer forms of media, be they applications or yet undiscovered platforms?
Yeah, actually, we're working on something more in the physical space as far as something that could be purchased and worn. So we're trying to get into the clothing line. We've created a Kanye vest, and it's a 20-foot vest, and it just has different pictures of Kanye West's face on them. So it drags along the ground as you walk. It lets your arms be free out in the world. And we're really hoping that it's going to take off and people are going to start wearing it around different places.
So this is really getting into the trend-setting environment. Are you hoping that people take videos or do other things in the Kanye vest?
Yeah, it's all about making the vest an extension of the meme itself. It's almost a meme within a meme.
The Kanye vest is featured in some new songs, I think, that are debuting, isn't he?
Yeah, so funny enough, we're also working with Michael Bublé on a Michael Bublé bath, and so that's going to be a meme coming out. He will be wearing the Kanye vest into the bubble bath, or the Bublé bath, and he will be playing Scrabble against himself, only putting in swear words.
Hold on, this is so exciting, this is so thrilling. As an amateur meme follower, I just need to kind of clarify the details of this specific meme. So Bublé will be in a signature Bublé bath, and he'll be playing Scrabble against himself, as in just trying to find his personal high score?
Basically, yeah. He'll be in a tub big enough where he can spin around and get onto the other side of this.
Oh, I see.
Scrabble board. Yeah.
And he's only going to play swears.
Yep. Only swear words.
Well, that sounds very promising.
And it's an opportunity for different artists to collaborate and work together, I think. And that's what Starnell and Ricky, you seem to be all about.
Oh, exactly. If it wasn't for Kanye putting his face all over that vest and really giving us the blessing to drape it on Mr. Bublé, none of this would really be possible, and we're really feeling like we've got a hit on our hands.
Do you have any sort of tracking software you use, possibly in your content facility, to track different usage or how people are liking your memes and videos you're creating?
Oh, yeah. We use all of the standard tracking methods, but we're also using a couple unique tracking methods. And we actually have, and I don't know if you know this, but Starnell is very famous for the bloodhounds that come out of it and are bred here. And so we're actually using real dogs to track down people watching our videos.
So they sniff out people presumably reacting or laughing to your memes?
Exactly. So, for instance, we'll have someone maybe watching Kim Kardashian, and it's basically... So it's basically this video where it's a crash test dummy, but then you take Kim Kardashian's crying face and put it on the face of the dummy and watch it repeatedly hit a wall over and over and over again.
I think someone sent that to me when their fax machine stopped working. It was so funny.
Yeah, it's a really good one. And so what we've done is we had a team of bloodhounds, probably 250,000 bloodhounds, all on set while we're making this video. And they all sniff it out. They get a sense for what it's like, and then then we just release them out, and then they go find everyone that's watching the video in real time.
So, is there any word as if the bloodhounds find the people, or do they find them and kill them?
They usually find them, but a lot of times they just get adopted. So, our return rate is kind of bad. But we're working on that.
Bloodhounds are a gentle and lovable creature, not very prone to violence. So that makes a lot of sense. And you also can't, you know, mention that story without mentioning the follow-up video, Too Many Bloodhounds, which was just drone footage of all the bloodhounds congregating in the lot outside of your facilities, doing what a mass of bloodhounds might do, you know, generally lazing about, slobbering. There's a man with a squeegee at some point, just looking forlornly at all the slobber.
Yeah, actually, Lake Starnell is actually not a real lake. It is just made up of bloodhound slobber.
Wow. Fascinating.
You gotta check that out.
Great question, Darlene, and an even better answer, Ricky. Elliot, do you have the next question for us?
I do. It's a tweet, actually. Several tweets, because I think he wanted to get all of his thoughts out. It is from These Parts Lame.
Wait, hold on.
I don't like the sound of this.
I don't like that at all.
I've already begun to read it, so there's no going back now.
We should really update our selection process for these letters. We say it all the time.
I really think we should. He says, "Hey guys, love these parts. TLDR." What is that?
Wait, I'm not following.
So he's saying what? There's been too many episodes and he just didn't listen to any of them?
Is that what he's implying? I'm not sure, Elliot. I guess I don't
know.
His
next tweet says, yes, I'm implying exactly what you think I'm implying. Okay.
Oh, boy.
This
wow.
Jokester is kind of at my wit's end.
Hope you had your laughs. Hope you got a good laugh.
He goes on to say, all I can empathize with are the people, those dummies who think Deliverance has been filmed in whatever bumblefuck town they'd come from. Hashtag fail.
Whoa. All right. I'm going to take umbrage with your tone.
Well, at least he realizes that Deliverance was filmed and where it actually was. And actually, wait, nope. He says in his last tweet, we all know Deliverance was filmed in Starnell, Texas.
Talk about, Elliot, the pot calling the kettle brown.
Talk about it indeed. It seems These Parts Lame that you are wrong about a couple things. These parts being lame, first of all, and about the location of the 1970s thriller Deliverance. Could you comment on this? Have you ever heard of people thinking Deliverance was filmed in this town, or maybe that it's some very long feature-length meme?
So I think what our commenter is getting incorrect is that, yes, The movie was not filmed in Starnell, but a different Deliverance was filmed in Starnell, and that would be the Bubba Sparxxx music video for the song Deliverance.
Oh, that's
interesting. That you know, that does make some sense. Were you involved in the production of Bubba Sparxxx' famous Deliverance video?
Yes, I was. My father is actually his optometrist, so that's how we know each other.
It's all about who you know in this industry, it seems.
It definitely is.
Well, close call, these parts lame, and might I suggest a handle change, but I still appreciate, on behalf of the show, you writing in.
I think we should suggest a topic change too, Vince. Ricky, do you have our final question for us?
I sure do. So our final question comes from Lola, Wanna Get to Know Ya, and she asks, what is Starnell and why should I give a fuck?
Wow.
And, you know, it's like a little rude, you know.
That's a very flip way to ask a question, Lola, wanting to get to know you if that is your real name.
She says that she can give us 266 Instagram followers, though, if we follow her back.
We probably should do that.
Yeah, you better do that, actually.
In the meantime, while we're clicking follow 266 times, could you maybe elaborate on her very vague question?
I sure can. I think what Lola really wants to know is why she hasn't been in any of the memes, because Lola is actually my cousin, and she is a real bitch. So she just does not have the talent and the ability to be in a meme at all. She tries way too hard. If you just act natural, Lola, I'll think about adding you in to maybe the Michael Bublé bath or maybe Buff Larry King, but you really have to tone it down, and I'd appreciate it if you didn't try and embarrass me on these shows.
Ricky, are you telling me that Lola Wanna Get to Know Ya is actually famed and oft-tabloided meme actress Lola Cha-Cha?
Regrettably, yes. Yes, she is.
This makes a lot of sense. And it makes sense why you'd want to distance yourself from her.
She's really give the meme game a bad name.
Wasn't she caught in a romantic sort of situation in public with the Star Wars lightsaber kid?
That she was. And that was while she was seeing Gary Numa Numa. So it really sent some shockwaves through the meme community.
I remember those dark days. I couldn't read anything else in the paper for weeks. Well, I appreciate the point of view. Always interesting to hear from an insider. And it sounds like, for better or worse, the Cha-Cha name goes deep in memedom.
It very well does, and we're hoping to kind of polish it up a little bit after the Lola Cha-Cha tarnishness.
Well, when we talk about tarnishing, we sometimes arrive on the letter of the law and how that letter can sometimes be misspelled. Elliot, we should investigate what it means to err in the town of Starnell.
In a segment we call You Can't Do That Here.
So You Can't Do That Here is exactly what it sounds like, listeners. It is our investigation into the unique laws and ordinances of the towns that we stay in. We like to investigate what you can do most places, but you can't do here. Ricky, what kind of things go against the grain of the law here in Starnell?
Well, there's a couple interesting ones. The first one would be that there are no right-hand turns ever. So Starnell is a huge, huge NASCAR loving town, and the mayor loved NASCAR so much that he decided to get rid of all right-hand turns in honor of the NASCAR Oval.
So you cannot make a left turn in this town.
You can only make a left-hand turn in this town.
Try to keep up, Elliot.
Just like NASCAR, it's a little too fast for me, but we should really write these things down before we start driving out of town, Vince.
Yeah, luckily, you know, I think we managed to only go left. There's only one turn to make in Starnell. It was squaring the corner of the enormous city-wide production facility that you erected. But on the way out, we'll be sure to go the long way around.
Yeah, there pretty much is only one way, and that's the long way around. The other law is that every citizen has to wear a body camera, and it has nothing to do with anything police related. It predominantly has everything to do with always capturing video 100% of the time. You never know when a meme's gonna pop out of nowhere.
Yeah, just in the off chance that something happens that is viral worthy.
Exactly.
Wow, that seems like good sense, though. Have you guys farmed any good content from these day-to-day body cam experiments?
There's been a few. There's a lot of footage to go through. So when the babies aren't working foreman jobs, they're usually reviewing tape. A couple of gems we've pulled out would be Booger Eater on a bus, Grandma dabbing, and Santa Claus needs a new pair of boots.
Well, I'm actually not familiar with Santa Claus needs a new pair of boots. The other two, obviously ubiquitous. What's the story arc of Santa Claus needs a new pair of boots, and how did you capture that on body cam footage?
So it's actually a POV from Santa himself. So he's walking through the city, and with all the bloodhounds in town, you cannot imagine the amount of dog shit that's all over the streets. So Santa clearly is not really looking at where he's going, and he steps in pretty much every turd for an entire city block. It's comedy gold, but those boots gotta go.
And usually I've seen this video with the text over the top of it that says, "When your boss says he needs the files on his desk ASAP."
Yep, that would be it.
And Vince, I kind of want to play a little game here. I really want our listeners to understand how to use videos and memes. Vince, why don't we fire some scenarios at Ricky, and then Ricky, you could tell us what the appropriate maybe GIF to insert in that message would be.
Sounds great.
This is a very apropos sort of experiment, a little activity that we're doing, because the improper usage of GIFs and meme images is finable here mm-hmm. in Starnell.
It's a finable offense.
Elliot, this is a great idea. Why don't you fire the first one off?
Here's a scenario, Ricky. I say that I got held up at work and I won't be able to make the movie that my friend wanted to go to.
Well, I'd say you'd probably use something with a turtle juggling saying, "Shall you later."
That's genius.
Wow. When you say you have a gift, you're truly not overstating it.
I would pronounce it gift.
Ricky, I've got one for you. Maybe this will be a bit of a curveball. All right. What gif or image meme would you use if you were at a new hotel that you've never been to before, and you go to shower and you hang your towel up, but you hung your towel up in the splash zone of the shower, so when you get out, the towel's all wet already?
This is a classic. Most people would say a classic crying Jordan, but I'll do you one better. And there's one that always works, and that would be a Bob Barker in line at the grocery store with his hands up in the air. Like, he is so annoyed with the entire situation. You really got to see it. It's a classic.
Wow. Masterfully selected, much like a samurai arranging flowers. It is almost violent in how elegant the solution is.
It's amazing. I hope that all you guys listening have learned a thing or two. I want to bring up one other law that I've come into contact with. And because everyone is wearing video cameras at all times, I've learned that it is also finable to interfere with anything taking place. I mean, as Kermit famously once quipped while sipping on his Liptons, "That's none of my business." And so you can't step in front of an old lady walking in front of a bus. You can't inform someone that their dress is see-through, nothing. So how do you live like this, Ricky?
You know, you just kind of get used to it. You realize if you've got something in your teeth, or if there's toilet paper on your shoe, that no one's really going to tell you, but you could be a star.
So it's a trade-off.
Exactly. You got to put up with the bad and hope that it's going to turn into something good. Or internet gold.
While as meme sensation Toilet Shoes once famously quipped, "I didn't know that," reference parentheses, talking about the toilet paper on his shoes.
Vince, I think there might be 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 things that we also didn't know about Starnell, Texas.
I think you might just be right, Elliot.
Let's investigate those in a segment called Did You Know?
So, listeners, we know that you don't always have time to jump through all the hoops of podcast listening life, and you need a couple of fast, rapid-fire factoids, trivia tidbits to get you through the day. And did you know we do just that? We fire five of them back and forth between us and the guest. So you get the what's to know now about the towns that we're staying in. Elliot, I bet you have the first one for us.
I do. Ricky and Vince, did you know that Starnell is home to the most people who narrate the lives of everyday woodland creatures?
I didn't know that. Ricky, did you know that?
You know what? There's a lot going on in that facility, so no, I didn't.
Just trying to piggyback on the success of Honey Badger, you find so many people around the town just trying to quip different things that they think the animal might be thinking about. So if you see a squirrel, you'll probably see some guy close by saying, something about how he has to collect all his nuts and, you know, I could go on and on with this, but really any woodland creature is going to have a narrating asshole close by.
You know, I'm reminded of the near viral Miss Vole saga called I'm a vole, not a mole.
How does that go? He's like, I'm a vole, not a mole, right? He has that kind of voice.
Yeah, that's verbatim the script of the meme. And then that meme is perpetrated over the course of 145 videos. Quite the batch of content. I didn't know that, though, Elliot, but putting the puzzle pieces together, it starts to make sense. But did you guys know it is a crime here in Starnell, a crime against humanity, not legal, but enforced by public opinion, to not retweet, follow back, or upvote any content made by a Starnellian?
Wow. Did you enforce this, Ricky?
Yeah, it's been a pretty hard thing to enforce, but I think the people are really gravitating towards it naturally now.
Have you seen any people maybe upvoting the not the best quality things, or any rival meme makers or video makers?
You know, sometimes our citizens get a little carried away and they just start upvoting and retweeting to their little heart's content, and they may accidentally retweet or upvote something that shouldn't be, but as long as they're fully supporting all things Starnell, then we don't really care too much.
I think the constant threat of Bloodhound Slobber on their keyboards might also have something to do with it.
Yeah, and wiping it off, they may accidentally hit the like button.
Yeah, and you don't ever want to get yelled at by a Foreman baby either. It's something I wouldn't wish upon anyone.
Well, I didn't know that, but Ricky, do you have the next Did You Know fact for us?
I sure do. Did you guys know that Starnell is actually the home to the longest video recording of butt after butt after butt of plumber's crack?
How did you guys acquire all this video?
Well, there happened to be a plumbing convention in Starnell one weekend, and we thought, you know, what a great thing to try and do is the Guinness's World's Longest lineup of plumber's crack. And so we got all of them in one line in our huge facility, and then we just kind of panned across, and it's about a 27-minute video.
See, that's what I love about you, Ricky. Most people would see a lineup of plumber cracks and try and run the other direction, but you go in full force to that crack.
Exactly. And you know what brings me more joy than anything is getting comments from plumbers all across saying, that's my butt, that's my butt.
All those comments on every video is just this local plumbers, I think, right?
Essentially, but it's a big group of people. So we're hoping that we can maybe even dive into the electrician's realm or something of that nature, HVAC perhaps.
I know you've already started to foray into electrician exposed armpit and HVAC worker double chin.
The double chin, I really feel like that one's going to be a hit. You never know. You just never know. Is it a chin? Is it a butt? Is it a kneecap? What is it?
Yeah, if you zoom in far enough, you can never know. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that, guys. But did you know Starnell, Texas is home to the littlest remembered Chuck Norris facts?
I didn't even know that a town could be home to facts, Elliot.
Yeah, well, you guys remember those Chuck Norris facts? They were hilarious. We would always send them out to each other back in, you know, the early 2000s. And this was actually before you were in town, I think, Ricky, because a lot of the facts out of Starnell weren't the most memorable. There was one, I'm pulling it up now. Chuck Norris once ate a sandwich. So that's one of them. Or here's another one. Chuck Norris wears a pair of boots so big they fit his feet. It, was this one of the impetuses for you to come to Starnell to help them?
Yeah. So this was around the time that Walker Texas Ranger was really in full force. And the people of Starnell felt so proud that Chuck Norris was representing Texas that they wanted to try and pay homage to him. And they did it in the best way they could with the little access to internet that they had. They really had some doozies out there. So that's when I knew this town needed me. And it turns out I needed them just as much as they needed me.
Wow, that's beautiful. Not to put a damper on the mood, guys, but did you know that Starnell was once embroiled in quite the little dust-up with PETA?
So what happened, Vince?
Well, I think we'll all remember one of Mr. Cha-Cha's debut memes, Smoking Penguin, where a penguin very nonchalantly is donned a Hawaiian shirt and has a cigar in his mouth.
I know this one. Yep, I've used this one several times on my emails to Xander.
And it's in the text over the image says, "Stay cool," and then there's like a little icon penguin.
There's the icon penguin next to the real penguin?
Over top of the real penguin.
I think I've used just the normal penguin version, but this must be some sort of modification.
So obviously, smoking isn't the best. It isn't good for you, no denying that. And this chain-smoking penguin raised quite a bit of ire in the animal protections community. Do you want to talk about that and how the issue was resolved, Ricky?
Yeah, so it wasn't our finest hour. There was actually a lot of backlash from PETA and a few other groups. And kind of the way we remedied the situation was that we had our penguin team up with Smokey the Bear and Scruff McGruff and just kind of did an all-star cast. And we actually wrote a song, a children's song, that aired on numbers of television shows like Bob the Builder, Blue's Clues, the like. And it was basically an anti-smoking PSA with our star, the penguin, in it.
Who's now been rebranded as Healthy Choices Penguin, who does stuff like takes the stairs.
He still has a cigarette in his mouth, though, because he was contractually obligated by Philip Morris for at least 10 years.
Well, the law's the law, Elliot.
It's not lit, though, so that was the compromise they made.
These are all interesting facts. I hope, listeners, that you've enjoyed them just as much as my brother and I have. And I hope that you can join me personally in thanking our guest, Ricky Cha-Cha. We know you're a busy man. You've got an important job. And your time on this show has been a delight and invaluable.
Well, guys, it's been a pleasure as always. And remember, keep retweeting, keep on eating, and don't stop believing.
Well said, Ricky. Now, if you'd be so kind as to join us for one final segment, it's one we call Wish You Were Here.
Listeners, we know you can't come with us physically on our journey to each town. Hopefully you follow along each week, and then hopefully you hear my and Vince's audio letter to you from whatever town we're in. It's a letter that starts something like this. Dear listener, wish you were here in Starnell, Texas.
A town on the cusp of internet famousness through the creation of many hundreds of memes and videos.
A town whose pilgrimage to viral is spearheaded by none other than Ricky Cha-Cha.
A town where you have more than your average amount of bloodhounds and more than your average amount of humor.
In a town that you should commit to memery.
Farewell from these parts to yours.
Listeners, thanks for tuning in to our time in Starnell, Texas. I hope you enjoyed that meme-filled episode. And I hope you enjoy next week's episode, when we're in Carlo Wiley, Oregon.
Carlo Wiley, Oregon is a town overrun by food trucks. So come back, it's going to be delicious.